Amen. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
It is so good to be here this morning. It's so good to see some faces I haven't seen in a little while. And it's such a blessing to be able to come here. And as we join together in praise and worship, as we join together in the reading and the studying of the Word of God. Thank you so much, young man. And as we continue in our current series, Above All, what I would like for you to do is, if you have your Bibles all over the sanctuary in printed or digital format, hold your Bibles up in the air, please, where you are. Amen. Hallelujah. I love seeing that. Please turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And today's message, as you turn in the Word of God, is the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I can't make it through a couple of hours without the Word of the Lord going through my heart. Amen? You know, as we go through life, as we go through different things, it's the Word of God that can sustain us. But it's not only that. It must be married. It must be coupled with the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, if you have your Bibles and you turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, please say amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we could put that passage up on the screen, please. Let me read through that one more time. I want to make sure that we see what's going on here. Is that the passage that's on the PowerPoint? Well, that's a good idea. We didn't have that up there then. It looks like the pastor did not put the passage in there for this week, or things got mixed up in the transition. But that's okay. Here's why. Everybody look up here. That's why you have your Bibles in front of you. Amen? That's why we have our Bibles in front of us. And so, friends, listen. As we look at today's message called the Word of God, sometimes what we call this is the Bible or the Holy Scripture. At times, we refer to it as God's revelation, if we want to get all theological about it. But do you know what God's favorite name for it is? God's favorite name for it is the Word of God. The Word of God. And whether it was said by the apostles, the Old Testament prophets, or by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and regardless of what it was recorded on, whether it's parchment, a scroll, vellum, paper, or your iPhone Bible app, over and over and over again, God calls it the Word of God. And so you may ask, well, preacher, what is the difference? What is the difference in what we call it? Well, there's a huge difference. Amen? There's a huge difference. And the difference is this. The more liberal that a person is, the more liberal that a person gets in their theology, the less they want to call the Bible the Word of God. I'm going to say that one more time. I see some puzzled looks out here. The more liberal a person gets in their thoughts of theology, the more liberal they are in their theology, the less they want to call the Bible the Word of God. Those that are liberal in their theology will call it the biblical record, or biblical or historical material, or the record of God's revelation. But the true name of it, and what God calls it, is the Word of God. You see, those other things sound okay, but they are not, when you want to know exactly what it is that you are reading right there in your hands. You see, friends, this is God's love letter to you. It is perfect. It is inerrant. It has not the slightest trace of error anywhere within it. And what I am holding does not contain the Word of God. It literally is the Word of God. And just in case you miss that, whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or watching online, I want to say that one more time. This does not contain the Word of God. This literally is the Word of God. Meaning that it is perfect. It's without error. It's without the slightest trace of any error whatsoever. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God. Meaning that all Scripture is God-breathed. Come on, y'all, now I'm preaching. Let's go. It is given by the inspiration of God to man, and the God of truth, listen to me, church, the God of truth cannot inspire untruth. He cannot inspire untruth. It was, of course, written down by man. It was written down by human beings, but they were inspired by Almighty God, and therefore it still is the Word of God. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, if you would. Mark that down in your notes. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, For prophecy never came by the will of man. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit of God. Meaning that every jot, every tittle, every point, every thought in the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. A liberal, those that are liberal in their theology will tell you that the Bible is inspired in its thoughts, but it's not inspired in its details. There's a deep theological word for that. I want to share it with you today. Hogwash. Balderdash. There's another word. Nonsense. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God in its thoughts and in its details. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says this. Every word of God is pure. Amen. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him and in His Word. Now have you ever noticed that the Bible has the same name for His Son that it has for His book? Have you ever noticed that? Throughout all of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah, church. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 says of Jesus Christ at His return, and His name is called the Word of God. You see, God's name for the Bible is the Word of God. God's name for Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The same name is used for the Word of the Lord and for the Lord of the Word. I worked hard on that. I thought you'd be more impressed. Let me say that one more time. The same name is used for the Word of the Lord and for the Lord of His Word. He is the Word of God. He is the very Word of God. Jesus, who is the living Word, says that the Scripture cannot be broken. You cannot break the Word of God. You cannot do it. And it is the written Word that presents Jesus Christ. The written Word presents Jesus Christ throughout all of Scripture. And it presents Him what? As the living Word of God. You see, Jesus is the hero of the Bible. He's the hero. And I want to ask today, is He the hero of your life? Is He the hero of your life? Friends, today we're going to have our first Lord's Supper here at Emmanuel Baptist Church since I've been the pastor. And as we prepare our hearts and our minds and our thoughts for the Lord's Supper, never forget that it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ that those words are written on the front of this table in remembrance of me. Everything we do is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we preach is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we sing and play on our instruments is for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the hero of the Bible. And friends, we got the Bible by the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, when was the last time you heard Holy Ghost from the pulpit somewhere, guys? You know, we have the church has gotten a little meek in that. They call Him the Holy Spirit. They call Him the third person of the Trinity. But I don't know about you guys, but I was saved in a church where the pastor preached with Holy Ghost power. And it was a Baptist church, but it was a shouting church as well. And when that pastor preached, it felt like fire was coming down from heaven, like our brother Elijah was preaching. Amen. And so I just love that. Matter of fact, that preacher, the night I got saved, was preaching so hard, I thought his head was going to blow up right off of his shoulders. And I said, I need to go get saved. This man seems pretty serious about this. Jesus is the hero of the Bible. We got the Bible by the work of the Holy Spirit. But how did we get the living Word himself? Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Meaning made under the Word of Almighty God. Both the living Word and the written Word have come from God. God sent his Word for your life. God sent his Son, the living Word, so you will have life everlasting. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, at Emmanuel Baptist Church, everything that we do is based on the written Word, and it is based on the living Word of Almighty God. And that is why I insist. That's why I'm such, the young people would call me a Jesus freak. Guilty as charged. Whatever we do at Emmanuel Baptist Church, we are going to put forth the name of Jesus Christ. And I insist with our praise and worship leader, Jamie Toro, that every song we sing have scripture in that song. What else? Matthew chapter 5 verse 18 says that the written Word of God cannot ever be changed. How many of you here have been to see the Holy Land Experience? If you've been here, raise your hands. Amen. Have you been to the Scriptorium? Well, I remember when we went years ago to the Scriptorium, they had a Bible there. And as I'm looking through the glass, it was a very, very old Bible from like the 13 or 1400s. As I'm looking through the glass and I see the Bible, it looked like it had stain all over it. And I thought, well, somewhere along the line, it must have got something spilled on it. Well, it did. As it turned out, as that Bible had been finished, the man that finished that Bible was killed by the sword, and he placed his body over that Bible to protect it. Is that how you feel about the Word of God? Does it mean that much in your life? You know, it says, Scripture says that the written Word of God cannot ever be changed. But what does Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 say? Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Means the Lord Jesus Christ always has been, He is now, and He always will be. When I get to that sermon, we're going to preach on that in a few weeks. When I get to that sermon, I'm going to try with all my might and power not to steal some of the good lines from every great preacher I've ever heard give this message. I'm going to try to bring some fresh oil to this. Amen? What else? Continuing. Both the written Word and the living Word are light for the dark places. Psalm chapter 119 verse 105. I'm sure you know this passage. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah to the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 18 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. You know, there may be some things the world shows at you, throws at you. Amen. This is a dark place, this world, sometimes. You look at the things that are going on all over the world, darkness abounds. But what? Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. Look unto me and be saved. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, listen, friends, the Word of God is absolute perfection. The Word of God has wonderful character. And the Word of God speaks with God's authority because it is the Word of God. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. Amen? When the Bible speaks, God speaks. Look at our text again. Look at that passage again. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Friends, I have three quick points for you today. Don't put your stuff away after I finish the third point, because I'm going to preach for a little while longer after that. I don't want to hear Bibles being slammed shut as stuff is put away. But you should have your notes in front of you. If you have your notes, say amen. I have three quick points for you to jot down. First, the Word of God is persistent. The Word of God is persistent. In other words, it persistently presents the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is persistent is. It is living. It is quick. It is unlike any other book that there is out there. Hallelujah. There is no other book like the Word of God. It's alive because it presents a living person. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. See, Pastor Larry, what's your favorite passage in the Bible? Well, I love the entire Bible from front to back. But I seem to be or have a fondness for the words written in lead. Amen? The words written in red just speak to my heart. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Why are they life? Because He is the Lord of life. Folks, I've been preaching the Bible long enough to see power in the Word of God. There is enormous power in the Word of God. You know, because this Word persistently presents Jesus Christ. I worked that on that real hard, getting persistently presents without stumbling over it. Listen, friends, everybody look up here. For my Bible teachers, for my evangelists, my student pastors, my executive pastors, Christians throughout, take a Bible that is properly prayed over. Take a Bible that is properly interpreted. Take a Bible that is properly preached and declared, and you will see Jesus Christ step out of His pages. Amen. You will see Jesus Christ step out. Jesus is the essential personality of the entire Bible. And just as the Word of God is alive, so the Lord Jesus Christ is alive as well. Amen? There is a reason why we have a cross that has nothing on it. It's because our Lord Jesus Christ is not there. We do things in remembrance of the sacrifice that He had. But our Jesus Christ is not on the cross. He's in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father today, declaring to Him and being a mediator for you. Amen? I don't know about you. I could use a mediator once in a while. Amen? So let me ask you, I see all you guys looking spiritual this morning. For you folks that were on the way here this morning, dealing with children having revival in the back seat. Do you need a mediator for you in heaven this morning? For those of you that were cut off on Interstate 95 or the turnpike or over there by the swap shop or whatever, the thrift place. Do you need a mediator for you in heaven this morning after your drive down here? Amen? I sometimes need a mediator as soon as I turn out onto Sunrise Boulevard after I leave here. And I'm the guy up here preaching. We need a mediator in heaven. But listen, guys, the Word of God is persistent. What else? Next. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. You see, that word powerful there is the Greek word energeis. Energeis. Because the Word of God has energy. When you preach the Word of God, you should preach it with energy. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean being loud. That doesn't mean shouting. That doesn't mean doing some of the things I do. But that means present the Word of God with the energy that is in the Word of God. Not with any fancy words, not with any fancy sayings, but present what the Word of God says. That energy that the Word of God has courses throughout every page of the Bible. Every word that you read and every book in the Bible is incredibly important. Every word in this Bible is important. What do I mean? Well, let's look at something for a moment. Just listen to this for a second. There's an innocuous passage in the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 15. It says, from the front of the entrance gate to the front of the vestibule in the inner gate was 50 cubits. In other words, they're talking about the entrance to God's house. In other words, the front doors of the church. If you're with me so far, say amen. We see that word entrance there is a word pronounced ethone. It's the only time it's ever used in the Bible, and it's used right there. It's a composite word. It's a word wrapped around another word. And the word that it's wrapped around is the same word is the word that you find over in the book of Daniel when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into what? The fiery furnace. That word for the fiery furnace is what is wrapped in other words, in other contexts, in this word ethone over in Ezekiel. Okay, Pastor Larry, thank you so much for my Hebrew lesson today. What does that all mean? Well, that word ethone is spelled with six letters. Now, the letters of the Hebrew Bible, friends, come from pictograms, and they're alive. You know, all of the other languages of the world, we speak with we speak how they sound phonetically. That's not the words of the Bible in the Hebrew. And so it's made up of six letters. One is the He. The picto image for that is a window, which means behold, or reveal, or glory, or breathe, or sign of God. The letter He. The following word is yod, which is the hand, which means create, work, make, unity, crown. The third letter, there's only six letters, is aleph. Aleph is an ox head, which means strength, servant, or mighty servant. Then comes tav. The symbol for the tav is a sideways cross. How about that? Sideways cross right after you find the mighty, strong servant, which means covenant, righteousness, judgment, destination, kingdom. You know, the cross leads to the kingdom of God. Amen? Then comes the vav. It's written W-A-W, but in Hebrew it's pronounced vav, V-A-V, which is a nail or a hook. It means bridge, man, secure, add. And finally, the final letter is nun, which is a darting fish, means imparting life. Put all those together, what do you have? Nun, yod, aleph, tav, vav, hey. Behold, the handiwork of the Lord. Can you believe that? Behold, the handiwork of the Lord, supported by His strong servant, making way in righteousness to the kingdom of God as a bridge for a man imparting eternal life. Is that how you feel when you come to the front doors of the church on Sunday morning? Behold the Lord. That's how we are to feel when we come to church. Amen, church? Listen, friends, the Bible has incredible power. And it's not like any other book that you will ever read anywhere. And by the way, the Aleph and the Tav, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Alpha and Omega, as it were, in the New Testament, we're going to have a series on that next year sometime. Hallelujah. So first, we see that the Word of God is persistent. Second, the Word of God is powerful. Third, the Word of God is penetrating. Penetrating. In other words, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You see, the imagery there is the same as like a two-edged scalpel that a surgeon would handle. So may I ask you something here, church, as you look at me this morning, as you're sitting there, comfortable in the pews that the Lord has provided for us, has God's Word ever done some exploratory surgery on you? Has the Lord's Word ever cut deep within your heart? Friends, I've had the Word of God just split me wide open before. I've had it carve me up. Look at that verse again. For the Word of the Lord is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. What does, in the world, does dividing the soul and spirit and joints and marrow mean? I remember the first time I read that, I was like, what in the world does that mean? What is that all about? I said that to my pastor at the time, Pastor Doug Strader. And here's what it's talking about. Stick with me for just a moment here, church. The marrow is what? It's the heart of the bone. Got it? Say amen. Amen. The joints are the hinges on your skeleton. All right, everybody in here today, our hinges are working perfectly, aren't they? No. I saw some of you walk in. But that's the hinges of our skeleton. What does that mean? The marrow is the heart of the bone. The joints are the hinges of the skeleton. Meaning God gets down to the attitudes of your heart. And He gets down to the actions of your flesh. With His Word. Well, okay, preacher, I get that. But why does the writer put in the marrow and the joints along with the spirit and the soul? Why does He do that? Well, you guys ready for this? Say amen. When God made you, He gave you a body. And inside that body is a soul and a spirit. Flip over in your Bibles a couple of chapters, a couple of books to the left, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And when you get there in a paper Bible, please say amen. Amen. Oh, you guys are good. Reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely and make your whole spirit, soul, and body. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends. The joints and the marrow, that's the body. The soul is your soul, and the spirit is the spirit. Okay, Pastor Larry, that's real helpful. Thank you so much. But listen, you see it right here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 as well. The same things. You see, friends, what this is talking about is that if the Word of God were a literal sword, it could divide the joints and the marrow. You with me? Amen? How many of you carved up a chicken recently? Can you divide the joints? Amen. All right. So if you had a literal sword, it could divide the joints and the marrow. But since the Word of God is a spiritual sword, since this is a spiritual sword, it divides the soul, your flesh, and the spirit, which is of God. Listen, guys, many Christians don't know the difference between the soul and the spirit. They think it's the same thing. But if you look at it this way, plants have a body, but they don't have a soul. Animals have a body and a soul. They have a personality, but they don't have a spirit. Only man has a spirit. And do you know why? Because only man is created in the image of Almighty God. Amen. And the Bible clearly says that God is spirit. He is spirit. And it also says, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Listen, friends, your body is this body that we carry around here. It's going to wear out until we get a glorified body. I can't wait for that. Our soul is who we are. It's what makes Brother Jim, Brother Jim. It's his personality. It's Miss Dottie's personality. It's Miss Ruth Ann's personality. It's all the personalities that we see in here. If you look around here, I just want to say this. Look around the Sanctuary Church. Look around here. You got some personalities in here. We got some characters in here, starting with the character that's up here. Amen? And so, friends, that's it. But the soul that we are born with, see, when Adam was created, he was created in the image of God, with the Spirit of God. His spirit was alive because he had not sinned. But when he sinned, that spirit died. And by died, I mean it went to the dark side, so to speak. Amen? And so every single person born since then has that dead spirit in them. But when you are saved, God reaches down inside of you, pulls that dead spirit out, stuffs in the spirit of the Almighty God. You are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and you are changed in an instant. You are different body, souls, and spirit. The sanctification of the believer, the sanctification is as we work out our sanctification. That's as we grow in the Lord. Amen? Listen, there are some new Christians in here. And there are some mature Christians in here. People have been following the Lord for so many years, and they know the Word of God very well. But listen, friends, immature or mature, you have that living Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. You are sealed by the same Holy Spirit, and you are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, friends, what a lot of people don't realize is there are times when you can worship with just your soul. There are times when you can worship God in church, and this is for Christians as well, in the flesh. That happens in churches all over the world. They've slid into entertaining and amazing the saints without blessing the people or blessing God. We are here to sing praises to Almighty God so that we can bless God. We are here for the audience of one. Amen? An audience of one. And when the Spirit is involved, we are blessed. And the same thing applies to the Word of God. A lot of people have knowledge of the Bible, but it's a carnal knowledge, and they use the Bible more like a club than as a sword. You ever seen those folks? They've been saved their whole life. Their Bible weighs 36 pounds. They walk into the church like they're doing a processional. And when you ask them a Bible question, they... When I was saved when I was 3. And they do it that way. Listen, friends, it's easy to slip into that. We are called to share what is there, to take that word and put it into our life. You see, the Pharisees, that's what they did. They most of them had memorized the entire Torah, the entire first 5 books of the Bible. But it was a lifeless, it was a legalistic memorization. They took pride in their ability to memorize words instead of glorifying in the God's word. And so, my dear friends, the Bible divides between soul and spirit. But the Word of God discerns as well. It says right there that it discerns. And so the question is, why does the Word of God slice us open? Why does God do that? Well, look at back here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 again. Look at the last 5 words. And it does this, it's a discerner of the thoughts, an intense of the heart. What is the intent of your heart as you came to church this morning? Did you come because it was Sunday and you're supposed to be here? Well, that's one good reason to be here. But did you come to glorify God? Amen. Did you come to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that word discerner in our text today is actually the word that we get critic from, as in criticize. The Word of God criticizes. The Word of God, better word, critiques us. The Word of God critiques our life. Listen, friends, meaning that we are here for the Word of God to critique us. We are not here to critique the Bible. That is not what we are here for. The Bible is here to critique us. It's a discerner of what makes us tick. The Bible divides us and then it discerns us. It does exploratory surgery on the saints. Why? To search the saints' hearts and lives. See, it's important for me that the Bible does that. Not so that the Lord knows that I love Him, but so that I know that I love the Lord. That is why God had Abraham take Isaac up on the mountain for the sacrifice. It was important that Abraham knew how much that Abraham loved God. And so do you love the Lord this morning? It does corrective surgery. It sanctifies. Another question, has the Bible ever cut anything out of your life? Has the Bible ever cut anything out of your life? Have you read the Bible and say, wow. There's a part of my life that needs addressing. There's something I need to take out of my life. There's something I'm doing that's not in the line with God's Word. It certainly has in my life. And that's the way that it works. When you get saved, look up here, guys. When you get saved, God's work starts to cut out of your life things that offend God. You know, people say, I don't want to become a Christian because then I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other. That's not the right way to look at this. When you get saved, you don't want to do those other things. Amen. You don't want to dishonor the Lord. You don't want to offend the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I thank the Lord for the sharpness of His Word. But it not only does it work with the saints, the sword works with the unsaved as well. The unsaved are saved by the truth of God's Word. Amen? As a preacher, I've seen this book stab people. When I've spoken it with gentleness and mercy. That's what happened to Stephen. That's what happened to Peter. And as Peter preached in Acts chapter 5:33, it says that the people were cut to the heart. You ever shared the Word of God with somebody, what the Bible says about something, and they get really offended and mad at you? Yes, because it's the Word of God. It cuts. It cuts to the heart. And what is it that cuts him? Was it Peter's wit? Was it Peter's wisdom? Was it the words of Paul or Pastor Larry or any of you saints that have shared? No, it was God's two-edged sword. It was the Word of God that cut them. And folks, when a man of God is preaching the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, some folks are going to get cut. And don't worry about it, though, because it cut me up long before I ever got here. It just ate me up. It ate me alive. Listen to me, Emmanuel. When the Word of God is preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, one of three things is going to happen to those folks sitting in the sanctuary. You're going to get mad, you're going to get sad, or you're going to get glad. Amen. I want to be glad because I belong to the Lamb of God. You know, as a young man, Charles Spurgeon was caught in a snowstorm. Thinking he was going to die, he ducked into, a church. He ducked into a church for shelter. Suffering from hypothermia, it was such a terrible morning that the pastor couldn't even make it there because of the storm that was so terrible. And so there was a few people in there. There was a layman teaching because he was the only one that they had that was a teacher. And in his message that morning, they decided to read a passage and then pray. And this was the passage that he read. Isaiah 45:22, where God says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am the Lord and there is none other." And Charles Haddon Spurgeon looked and was saved. And so I call to you today, have you looked unto the Lord to be saved? And Spurgeon, after that, became the greatest Baptist preacher that the world has ever seen. Simply amazing. The message by a layman quoting one verse. What was it that touched Spurgeon? What was it that touched Peter? What was it that touched Paul? What was it that touched you when you shared the gospel and someone was saved? What was it that touched Larry Brister? Nothing less than the Word of God. Only the Word of God. Our passage says that it's a two-edged sword. Listen, friends, meaning that the gospel is a savior of life unto life, and it is a savior of death unto death. Life unto life and death unto death. And if the Bible does not cut you to heal you, the Bible will cut you to kill you. You will be judged by the Word of God. It has a convicting power. It has a converting power. But it also has a condemning power. How so? The Word of God cuts the saved for conviction, and it cuts the sinner for conversion. I can't save anyone. You cannot save anyone. But, well, Pastor Larry, aren't we supposed to be soul winners? Yes, we are soul winners by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." By sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It cuts the saved for conviction. It cuts the sinner for conversion. But it cuts Satan and condemnation. Amen. It cuts Satan and condemnation. Marianne, did I remember to put the Ephesians passages on the screen? Please say yes. Ha! There we go. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For what? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Then how are we to defeat Satan, friends? Well, here's how we defeat him. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which what? Is the Word of God. Amen. Folks, when you go to do battle with Satan, don't forget your sword. A Christian without his Bible is like a knight in shining armor without a sword. It's not going to end well. Amen? So let me just share this with you, friends. We all know the story of Jesus in the wilderness. Three times Satan came to tempt the Lord. And three times Jesus said what? It is written. It is written. And three times Satan was defeated by what? The Word of God. Even, listen, if the Lord Jesus Christ says it is written, then we should say it is written. Now here's your nugget. I try to give you a nugget every Sunday, something that you can take away, a single thought. And here it is for this Sunday. Never argue with the devil. He's been around a long time. He's going to win every time. Just point him to the Word of God. And when you point to Satan to the Word of God, you walk away, everything's okay, because now he's got to argue with the Word of God. Amen. Not you. He's not arguing with your words, he's arguing with the Word of God. And one of these days, friends, hallelujah, one of these days soon, the end of days will come, there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. And do you know what weapon is going to be used in the Battle of Armageddon? Do you know what battle is going to be used at the end of ages? Do you know what weapon is going to be used against the Antichrist and all of the assembled armies of the evil of the world? You see, the Antichrist is going to come up against Jesus with all of the power and all of the jets and all of the tanks and all of the world's lasers and napalm and soldiers and weapons and everything that it can. And our side will have one weapon. Reading from the Word of God, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." That's you guys. I'm going to say that one more time. I want to make sure you got your part in this scene. "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and on his robe and on his thigh a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Listen, church, to your pastor. You're going to walk out here today and you're going to be under attack Immediately. Immediately. And the only answer that you have for it, thus saith the Lord. The Word of God is your primary defense against everything the world can throw against you. Read it every day. It's a love letter from your Heavenly Father. How do I know it's a love letter? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen to me. You can only be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've been doing. I don't care if you've been filling a role as a pastor. I don't care if you're on a praise team or band. I don't care if you've been in church every Sunday your entire life, or you're watching or listening this one time on the internet today. You can only be saved by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. Why? Because God loves you. Why only Jesus Christ? John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And all of God's people said,
amen.
Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I thank you for being so patient this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are God. You are worthy.